नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we are continuing the reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 14. This is prayers of Lord Brahma. Today's text is text 24 and 25. So Lord Brahma continues his prayer to Lord Krishna. So first we just read the text first, and then I'll do the commentaries from the acharyas. Is that 24? Okay. Is that 24, 25 today? There are two texts. Both.
Not together, one by one.
Okay, all right. So today we are reciting together text 24. Evam vidam tvam sakalatmanam api swatmanam atma atmachaya vichakshate guru akha labdho Upanishad Suchakshusha Yete Tarantiva Bhavan Anitam Buddhim. Evan Vidanchan Sakalatmanapi Swatmanam atmatmataya vichakshate Gurakalam dopanisat vichakshusa Yete tarantiva bhavanitam buddhim Evam vidam tvam sakalatmanapi Svatmanam atmana atmatmataya vichakshate Guram kalam dopanisa suchakshusa Yeti tarantiva bhavanitam buddhim Evam vidantam sakalatmanapi Svatmanam atma taya vichakshate Gurakalam dopanisam suchakshusha Yete tarantiva bhavanitam buddhim Evam vidam has thus described Tvam you sakala of all Atmanam, souls, api, indeed, swa atmanam, the very soul, atma atmataya, as the super soul, vichakshate, they see, guru, from the spiritual master, Arkha, who is like the sun, Lada received Upanishad of confidential knowledge. So Chakshusha, by the perfect eyes, ye who te they taranti cross over yiva easily baba of material existence. Anrita, which is not real. Ambudim, the ocean. Translation purport. Translation. Those who have received the clear vision of knowledge from the sun-like spiritual master can see you in this way as the very soul of all souls, the super soul of everyone's own self. Thus understanding your original personality, they are able to cross over the ocean of illusory material existence. Purport. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Jamo Kama Chamedivyam Evangyo Veti Tatuta Tatva Deham Punan Jama Naitimam Eti Swajuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, my eternal abode, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Gurave Gurachandaya Radhikayata Dalaya Krishna Ya Krishna Bhaktaya Tabhaktaya Namo Namaha Agyanam Trimandasya Ganangunam Sarkaya Chakchusmita Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhistaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Nath Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurubani Pracharine Nibisisasya Vari Pashtadishtarine Vantaka Paturubhyascha Kripa Sindhi Devacha Paritanam Pavana Vibhyo Vashna Vibhyo Namo Namaha. Evam Vidantran Saklat Manamapi Swat Manam Atmat Mataya Vichakshate Guraka Labdo Panesa Suchakshusha Yete Tarantiva Baba Nritam Buddhim. Those who have received the clear vision of knowledge from the sun-like spiritual master can see you in this way as the very soul of all souls, the super soul of everyone's own self. Thus, understanding your original personality, they are able to cross over the ocean of illusory material existence. And in text number 25, we have Atmanam Ivatmataya Vijanatam Tinaiva Jata Nikilam Prapanchitam Ganenam Buyo Pichata Paliyate Ra Rajwan Maiboga Baba Baba Ujita. Translation: a person who mistakes a rope for a snake becomes fearful, but he then gives up his fear upon realizing that the so-called snake does not exist. Similarly, for those who fail to recognize you as the supreme soul of all souls, the expansive, illusory, material existence arises, but knowledge of you at once causes it to subside. Well, there's a purport by the disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Those submerged in illusion see material existence as infinite. Just as one who is submerged in water sees only water all around him. For example, material scientists and philosophers submerged deep within the ocean of material illusion. Imagine that material nature extends infinitely in all directions. In fact, the material creation is a finite ocean of ignorance in which foolish living entities such as material scientists are unceremoniously dunked by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To be trapped in a world in which all things are born and die is certainly a fearful experience. Anyone trapped in a dark place naturally becomes fearful, since material life is always covered by the darkness of ignorance. Every conditioned soul is fearful. The material nature is not ultimate reality, and thus analysis of matter can never provide answers to ultimate questions. This dark, snake-like existence called material life immediately disappears as soon as one opens his eyes to the bright light of Krishna consciousness. So these two verses, and also the subsequent verses by Lord Brahma, this is part of the renderings of Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma is trying to placate Krishna. He's trying to placate Krishna because realizing that he had committed a blunder, in the sense that by trying to play a trick on Krishna, but he eventually was tricked. He thought himself that he could bewilder Krishna, he could frustrate Krishna in his pastimes, but he ended up being frustrated, being bewildered by Krishna's superior potency. Of course, Brahma, is a great devotee of the Lord. Is a pure devotee of the Lord. Normally, the pure devotees do not, in any way, try to find a way to create some impediment in the Lord's pastimes. Now, we find like Indra, for instance, Indra, as we're going to learn in the later chapters, that Indra was very, very puffed up of his position. So he was very puffed up, full of pride of his position, so he tried to create obstacles. Actually, not obstacles, he actually think himself to be so great that when Lord Krishna forbid the Brijabasi from performing the Indra Jaga, and the Brijabasis, they do Govardhan Jaga instead, worshipping Govardhan, healing himself. So Indra became so puffed up, he became so angry, and he think that now, because this Bridgebus is, they have disobeyed me, so let me punish them. They must be punished. So therefore he sent torrents of rain to try to destroy Vrindavan. But, and of course, Indra, he was just an insignificant demigod. So ultimately, he wasn't successful, and his pride was deflated by Lord Krishna. But the situation with Brahma and Indra is not the same, because Indra, why he considered himself to be so great, Brahmaji, he never considered himself as such. He's always a devotee. He's always a devotee of the Lord. And not just being a great devotee of the Lord, he's also a person who always bringing people to Krishna consciousness by his dissemination of the Vedic scriptures. He's called Adi Kavaye. He's the one. From him, the Lord spoke directly Vedic scripture to him, and then he disseminates unto mankind, unto humanity, all living entities. And the Brahma's its all existence is to simply bringing people to Krishna consciousness, to bring people to the awareness of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But how come in this particular situation, Brahma seems to be, you know, trying to frustrate Lord Krishna's pastimes with his friends? This is another form of humor, because we know, actually, as I said in some other class, that Lord Brahma, because of his great position, is the head of the Sampradayas, is a great devotee, and the great devotees, they are never under any illusion. So therefore, we have the other, we have Sampradaya, actually the Madhva Sampradaya, they say that these three chapters of the Bhagavatam, the chapter 12, 13, and 14, they say these three chapters are imposition? No, that's another word. They were inserted into Bhagavatam. This cannot be part of the Bhagavatam. They were actually put into the Bhagavatam. These three chapters. You know. Yeah, 13 and 14. Is it 12? Anyway. So, because he said there is no way, because Lord Brahma is the original guru, there is no way a guru can ever be bewildered. So therefore, this cannot be original part of Bhagavatam. However, this is not the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Prabhu. Why? Because Sridhar Swami, he commented on these chapters of the Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Prabhu accepted Sridhar Swami as an authority on Bhagavatam. So therefore, the notion that this chapter of Bhagavatam is not part of the Bhagavatam, just inserted into Bhagavatam, so therefore the Gaudiya Vaishnava do not accept, you know, this notion. This is originally part of Bhagavatam, but there is a reason, because the devotees of the Lord, they perform all kinds of humor with the Lord, because they have a relationship. So Brahmaji, in his capacity as a great devotee of the Lord, he wanted to see the greatness of the Lord. He wanted to see his greatness. Because he came to Vrindavan and he saw that Krishna is performing so many, many pastimes, so many, many, you know, especially the cowherd boys. They were in a picnic. They are exchanging all kinds of loving dealings with Krishna. Krishna is feeding the gopas, cowherd boys, with his own hand, feeding them the food. And also the cowherd boys, they also feeding Krishna in exchange. They also putting Krishna, they taking food from their plate and putting it into Krishna's mouth. So this pastimes, he was amazed. Brahmaji, looking at these pastimes, so he became amazed. It's okay, let me try to play some trick. Let me see, if I take Krishna's friends away, what will Krishna do? Is he going to stop his pastime if I take his friends away? So therefore, this whole situation of Brahmaji hiding the calves, and Krishna went to look for the calves, and then again he took all the cowherd boys and put them in a cave. Now he said, okay, let me see what Krishna will do now. But of course, when he came back to see where Krishna was sitting with his friends, he saw that Krishna is still the same. He's playing, same pastimes is going on, the same picnic, the same exchanges between Krishna and the cowherd boys is still going on. So then, of course, Brahma became very bewildered. He became very bewildered. He said, How could this be? He became very bewildered. After all, I have just hidden Krishna's friend and the calves. So how could it be that the same Krishna is still there with the same boys, with the same calves, same cowherd boys? So Brahmaji became, he was looking here and there. He looked at his cave where he hid the boys. The boys are still there in his mystic slumber. And at the same time, you see that the same boys, they were still, you know, playing with Krishna, performing their activities with Krishna. So after some time, so Krishna wanted to show him, you know, want to reveal himself his supreme opulence. And then Brahmaji could see that all these boys and calves, they actually Vishnu's, they're actually Vishnu form, because Krishna had expanded himself in the form of Vishnu into all the cowherd boys, into all the calves. Why? Because Krishna is known as Atmaram, self-sufficient. Not just that, it's called Aptakam, the one who's he wants to enjoy himself, and his enjoyment can never be frustrated in any way by anyone. When the Lord wants to enjoy himself, he provides himself his own enjoyment. He gives himself his own enjoyment. So therefore, the Lord wants to enjoy himself uninterruptedly. So Brahmaji, he took away all his friends, and Krishna simply immediately replaced all of them with the exact form and with the exact mentality. So when Brahma realized this, he found, oh, I've committed such a big blunder. What to do? How can I pacify Krishna so that he doesn't become angry with me? So Brahmaji, he went to, actually Krishna was standing on the, you know, on the ground below the tree with the same butter in his hand, his flute, you know, small cowherd boy, was like 5 years old. So Brahma, he went to prostrate himself before Lord Krishna. Actually, when he prostrated himself before Krishna, the cowherd boys, they were there. And they simply saw this big guy, because Brahma is so huge, and they saw him making a prostrating his dandabat, obeisance to Krishna, who was just a small boy. So they were wondering that, look at this guy, big guy, you know, paying his obeisances to little Krishna. So, and then the Brahmaji, he was in time to say some words so that Krishna will not be angry with him. First, so Brahmaji started praying that, oh Krishna, you are the creator, you are the originator of everything. Everything comes from you.
So when Brahmaji was saying this, Krishna said that, how can you say this? I'm just a cowherd voice. I'm just a 5-year-old, cowherd voice. So how can you say that I'm the origin of everything? I'm the creator. I'm the cause of all causes. How can you say this? And then Brahmaji said, well, Krishna, from Brahma, from Lord Narayan, I was manifested. I came from the stomach of Lord Narayan. I came from his stomach. And then from Narayan, Narayan, by his orders, I'm able to create this world. But Narayan is but a manifestation of you. Narayan is come from you. So you are the origin of Narayan. So if you are the origin of Narayan, and I come from the stomach of Narayan, so therefore, am I not your child? Am I not your child? Because Narayan comes from you, and I come from Narayan, so therefore I'm your child. And usually, a child can do many, many things to the mother. The mother never becomes angry. A child, a small child on the lap of the mother will come do so many mischievous things. So the mother will never become angry to the child. So therefore, so in this way, Brahma was telling Krishna that, look, you cannot become angry with me. I stole your boys, took them away. So therefore, you cannot become angry with me, because this is just like the play, of a child on the lap of the, of the mother. So Brahmaji was saying this. Now through these prayers of Brahma, we can see so many, many truths have been revealed through this prayer of Lord Brahma. Because Lord Brahma is the, as I say, is the original guru. So in the form of praying to Krishna, he is now explaining the science of reality. For example, in the text which we are reading today, whereby Brahma is saying that evam vidam tvam sakalatmanam api svat manam atmataya vichakshate guru aka labdho panisa suchakshusha yete tarantiva bhavanit tambudim. So evam vidam, because this knowledge, which was actually in the previous verse, Brahma, he has said how he had talked about Krishna as being the supreme, as being the oldest, as being the supreme independent. So in the previous verse which you read yesterday, so Lord Brahma is saying, telling Krishna that you are the one supreme soul, the primeval supreme personality, the absolute truth, self-manifested, endless and beginningless. You are eternal and infallible, perfect and complete, without any rival of, and free from all material designations. Your happiness can never be obstructed, nor have you any connection with material contamination. Indeed, you are the indestructible nectar of immortality. So this is Brahma saying. Even in the very first verse of Bhagavatam, the very first verse, whereby Vyasadeva, he had written in the Jamandiyasya verse. So Vyasadeva, he had composed this verse about Lord Krishna's being the supreme of everything, being the originator. He said,
jamand yasya tumpayan bitayato ichateso abgyanaswarat tene brahma ridaya dikavaye munyate jat suraya tejo varimi idam yata vinimayo yata tishago misha damna svena sadani rasta kuakam satam param dhimaya. So Lord Brahma, he said, "Oh my Lord Sri Krishna," this is Vyasadeva writing, "Oh son of Vasudev, oh all pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon you, Lord Sri Krishna, because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of material nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existence in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. This verse is this first verse of the Bhagavatam, it's actually completely summarizes the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, because the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is about Krishna. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is about understanding Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as origin, and whom everyone should serve. So this verse actually is like the, there's a big long purport of this verse by Srila Prabhupada. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he gave a 2 months lecture on this verse every day for 2 months. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta lecture on this verse of this first verse of Bhagavatam. So that Krishna being the original personality, now in this verse, which may say Teju Varimidam, that this material world, to those it appears to be factual by those who are simply absorbed in the materialistic sense in German, even though it's unreal, it's not factual, but it appears to be real to those who simply want to enjoy themselves. They think that this material world is all in all. And this verse, which we read today also, talks about this unreal, the unreal nature of this material world is what causes us to to experience miseries. The unreal nature, because we accept this world as unreal, we accept it to be real even though it's unreal. So therefore, what happened? We suffer the ocean of materialistic existence. So the acceptance
of material world to be real, to be all in all. This is due to ignorance, and this ignorance is a cause of living entities suffering. This ignorance. Now, in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 2, text 37, by Kavi. So he said, he was talking of this material world. He said, Bhayam dhitya bine visheshatasya iksha dat apetasya vipayayo smriti tan maya yacho buddha abhajetan bhaktiyai kasyesham guru devatatman. So he said that fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency of illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. So this is the same thing that Brahmaji is saying here, that the only way, if you want to overcome the miseries of this material world, once you simply accept that yes, the Supreme Lord is the basis of everything, that yes, we are part and parcel, we are part of Him. It's called Atmana Atmanam. The Lord is the soul of all souls. We come from Him. We come from Him, we are part of Him. So by this understanding that yes, the Lord is the cause of all causes, the Lord is the soul of all souls, just by this understanding, he said that one can be free from the ocean, this bhava, it's called bhavanrimitambuddhim, this materialistic existence, which is simply, you know, full of fear. And of course, how do we get this knowledge? The Vedic scriptures provide this knowledge. And of course, the bona fide spiritual master give this knowledge. Just like we sing that samsara dava nalagida loka, trajakarya ganaganachon, that this material world is an ocean. It's an ocean. Baba, it's very difficult to cross. But if one hears from the spiritual master, then one can easily cross over it. Taranti. Taranti means, you know, to cross over. One can cross over the ocean of materialistic existence. So Lord Brahma is giving, you know, this the exposition about the method by which we can be free from the ocean of materialistic existence. Because this material world do not give us, you know, good treatment. Material world always treat us very, very roughly. But somehow, because of illusion, we think that, oh, everything's okay. Yeah, things may be bad now, but things are going to get better in the future. So therefore, we are always hoping against hope. You know, some problem comes, we try to find a way to fix it. You know, but fixing the material problems is just trying to patch something, make a patch. There was a story of a king. So one time the king, he told his minister that he wanted to find out who is lazy. So he told his minister that you go into the town and announce that tomorrow the king is going to give
a bojan. He's going to give everyone free food. So the minister went out, make a big announcement that yes, tomorrow the king is going to make a very big bojan that everyone should come. So everyone, they made their preparation to come the next day. And so in the meanwhile, the king told his minister that he should prepare a very big pandal. In this big pandal, this is where everyone will sit to eat the food, to eat the bojan. So the next day, everyone came, they all entered the palace, and then everyone was directed to the pandal. So everyone sat down, waiting for the food. So when everyone sat down waiting, so the king, he told the minister, he said that, set fire to this pandal, set fire to it. So the minister, he set fire to the pandas, and everyone ran away except two persons. They were two friends. So one of the friends said that, I think I'm feeling some heat. So his friend told him, well, just turn the other way. If you just turn the other way, maybe you will not feel it. So when the king saw these two fellows trying to make adjustments in the midst of the burning panda, so the king said, oh, these two fellows, they are so lazy. They are so lazy that even though there is fire, they cannot get out. They cannot get up. So this is our nature in this material world. You know, even though the fire is always around us, but we want to make so much adjustment to it. We want to make so much adjustment. But when the sadhu come and say, oh, Asatoma, Jyoti Gamaya, you know, come out for this materialistic existence, we cannot listen to the sadhu. We say, no, he doesn't know what he's talking about. We cannot listen. But those who are fortunate, who listen to the word of the sadhu, who is compared to the sun, who listen to the word, they are the one who get awakened. And when they get awakened, then they start understanding the reality. And they are the one who can get freedom from this tribulation of the materialistic existence. So this is what is being explained here by, in these prayers, by Lord Brahma. Now, and of course, it can be further explained, but we don't have so much time. It's 9 o'clock. Otherwise, this verse can be further explained. So Lord Brahma is giving us such a viable teaching. Okay. So anyway, thank you very much. If there is any question or comment, you can please go ahead. A question to the prayer? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they call it interpolation. Interpolation, yeah. I'm not too sure if it's Madhvacharya himself said, but probably had to come from him, because if the follower said, probably coming from him. The reason being that because a guru can never be illusion, especially a sadguru like Lord Brahmaji. So it's on that basis they said that this must be interpolation on the Bhagavatam. That's the reason why. And of course, this is explained by Srila Jiva Goswami in the Tathasandarbha. This is explained there that way. Srila Jiva Goswami mentioned this in the Tathasandarbha. Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami. Yeah. If you study Tathasandarbha, you will come across this. He just said that Madhava's followers, Madhava's Sampradaya, they don't accept because of this point of Guru being always perfect. Especially Brahmaji is the head of our Sampradaya. So being the head of our Sampradaya, It can never be illusioned. So that's the reason why they say this. Yeah. Because there is acceptance that there are some few chapters in the Bhagavatam which are interpolated additions, some. There are some chapters in Bhagavatam which are interpolated. So sometimes it depends on what readings you have. If you have, there are many editions of Bhagavatam. So some may have more, some may have less. So it depends on the read. Just like Chaitanya Charitamrita also, there are more chapters. Some has more chapters, some have less chapters. So it depends on the different readings that you are having. So sometimes this notion of interpolation is sometimes, lodged, that this may be interpolation, that this cannot be the original. Now, some interpolation may have justification, while some may not. Okay. So depending on the sampradaya, because we have many sampradayas. Okay. I'm talking of Vaishnava sampradayas. And the Vaishnava sampradayas, they do have different understandings. They have different readings, the Vaishnava sampradayas. Okay. Yeah. Now, we are Brahma Madhya Gaudiya Sampradaya. Sankaracharya was before Madhavacharya. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he says some philosophy, at least if they can understand and then come up, like upgrade themselves.
Yeah.
And lastly, he says that shloka is famous shloka. What is that?
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah.
Well, I will not say they are conditioned souls because.
Yeah.
I'm saying, for example, not every teachings of Madhavacharya is accepted by us, by Gaudiyas. When you read the conversation of Mahaprabhu when he was in Udupi with the acharyas of the Madhavas, so in that conversation, Mahaprabhu pointed out so many mistakes in their philosophy, which is coming from Madhavacharya. So even though we are coming from Madhava Sampradaya, but there are some points where we have difference. At some point we have difference. So Mahaprabhu created Achintya Bheda Bheda Tatva. So we are not pure Madhava Sampradayas. We are different also. We are not pure. We are Chaitanya Sampradaya, Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. So this is something we have to understand. Something we don't accept from Madhavacharya Sampradaya, but something we'll do. That you have to study Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now I come beyond the many things is there. For example, of 44 Vaishnava Sampradayas, Mahaprabhu accept two items from each Sampradaya. Something from Madhava, something from Nimbanka, something from Sri Sampradaya, and something from, so Mahaprabhu accepted two of them, and then we have Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So which means there are many things we don't accept there, and many things, so that's something, that's why we have to understand Mahaprabhu's philosophy very deeply. At this we can know if you study the teachings of the Goswamis. If you study their writing, this we can get to know more. And then I can't give you. Just if you read the chapter 9 of Chaitanya-charitamrita, where Mahaprabhu was in Udupi, read that chapter. Chapter 9, Madhya Lila, chapter 9 of Chaitanya-charitamrita. You can read that. Yeah. Otherwise, we can go on and on and on trying to prove something. Anyway, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.